you to come. Thank you, Michael, for that good message and song. I want you to open your Bibles this morning to the Old Testament prophet book of Daniel. Daniel the prophet. Let you go there to chapter 7 with me. And boy, I tell you what, the liberals don't like the idea that Daniel could write the future 2,800 years before it happened. But he did. And you and I are living in part of that future right now. And much of what he wrote has come to pass, and yet there's a little bit yet to be fulfilled. And we'll recognize that this morning. Daniel chapter 7. I'm going to take the time to read, I guess, about 15, 16, 17 verses maybe. And preachers are on limited time when they get up in the morning. Somebody wants to go to lunch and some unnecessary stuff like that. And so they're on limited time. They got to crowd it in. And so sometimes when we need to read and ponder a long time, we recognize nobody would be left but my wife, and I'm not too sure about her sometime. I'm joking around a little bit. I want to talk to you this morning on the lying mouth. The lying mouth. Now, some of you in my Sunday school class going to think I'm continuing on with what I was teaching, and it might kind of run together a little bit. We all know what a big mouth is, don't we? Don't we accuse somebody? Hardly ever anybody. Once in a while, I've had somebody say, well, I've got a big mouth. Now, we're not talking about the dimensions of it. We're talking about what comes out of it and how regular it comes out and how much comes out and how wrong comes out. That's what we're talking about with a big mouth. Amen. Somebody said God gave us two ears and one mouth. We ought to listen twice as much as we talk. There might be a little bit of truth in that. One evangelist was preaching, and the gossip of the church finally got under conviction and came down to the front and said, preacher, I intend to lay my tongue on the altar today. He looked at the altar and said, well, you put as much of it as it'll hold. He knew her pretty well, amen. We ought to be careful that that don't describe us. Daniel chapter 7, verse 15. And I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head trouble me. God's been giving him some dreams here under King Belshazzar and showing him the future. And boy, what a thing he was showing Daniel. Verse 16, I came near unto one of them, talking about the heavenly messengers now, one of them that stood by, and asked him the truth of all this, all this dream, all this vision. He'd come in his vision. He'd seen thousands of thousands before the Lord. He'd seen the judgment open, the books open. He'd seen the great white throne, as it were, and he had heard great words spoken by, in this chapter, someone called the little horn. So he's asking now those that stood by the meaning of it. I'm not going to have time to put it all in context and to teach it. But he wanted to know. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. That's verse 16. Then here we come. Verse 17. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Now, there's a lot of time in those verses. A lot of time from the time of these world kingdoms typified by beast to the time that the saints, the believers, God's people, take over and rule the earth. Verse 19, then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were on his head, in his head, and of the other which came up, before whom three fell, even that horn that had eyes and a mouth, that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld in this same horn made war with the saints, and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom. Now, just a little bit of identification. Verse 3, history tells us, talking about the Roman Empire. Ten horns coming out of it in verse 24. Horns are power. Horns are representing kings and power. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise. And another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. That's the one that's yet future, going to come, and he shall speak great words. It's amazing if you study the chapter here, the word great having to do with words is mentioned 3 or 4 times. He shall speak great words against the Most High God, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given unto his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times, 3.5 years. But the judgment shall set, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cognitations much trouble me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. So if you didn't understand it all, Daniel said he didn't either. But he understood quite a bit, quite a bit. There's a lot that we might not totally understand, but we got one big picture here. There's a little horn coming on the scene. He's a king, he's a man, he's a ruler, he's a dictator. The horn's got eyes like a man. It's got a mouth like a man. It speaks, and it speaks great swelling words against who? God, the Most High. He does war with the saints, and it appears he wins for a while, but he loses in the end. And the saints take the kingdom. You know, we're in political season now. Somebody asked me, did I see the debate the other night? I got home in time to hear what the newsmen were spinning about it. It was over by the time I got home. I'm amazed, though, that the lies and the propaganda that's being just passed, and the masses are, they don't know what to believe hardly, and this group's deceived one way and another group's deceived the other way. And I did hear where Al Gore said that the reason the president did so bad, he was out there in Colorado in that high, thin air. Do you hear that? I'm not worried about the high, thin air. I'm worried about that low, dirty air in Washington myself. Amen. But anyway, amazing stuff that populations will believe anymore, the stuff that's being said. But here in the text, if you look at the word mouth, you pick it up in verse 8. Picking it up with me in verse 8 of the chapter, which I didn't read, you see the word mouth. Then if you drop over here a little bit to verse 20, where I did read, you read here, and the ten horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth, spake great things. Big mouth, big deception, big propaganda. That's the deception of our end times. Folks, that's where we live in today. In fact, a lot of our heartaches today is because of the lies and the propaganda that has been pushed, and the confusion that we have today. And in the context here, we know we're talking about end times. We know we're talking about the Antichrist. You say, is he here? Sure, I think he's here. When will the world know about him? When God's people, the saved, are taken out. That could be any time. And his mouth will arise, speaking great things against God. Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica and said that at that time there would be a great delusion come. That great delusion will come when those that know the truth are removed from this earth, and where this big mouth speaking and lying as he will deceive the whole planet to a great degree. I want to say a few things about him today. We live in that time of deception. We look around today, we see Hollywood and other places exalting adultery. It's almost you're not in step with the world if you're not having been guilty of adultery. And then as a result of that, what do we have today? We have babies being killed. Boarding the babies. Boarding the babies has become nothing but a contraceptive so that the pleasure and the lifestyle can be lived. And I spoke about it in Sunday school. The evil result of that then is the taking of innocent life. As we stand out on the road today, you know what? There's been 55 million abortions on the records. On the records since 1973. 55 million. My. No wonder America's in trouble with God. Amen. And not only that, everything God is against, it seems like America is slipping into being far. Today we got the gay marriage thing. God condemns the homosexuality, but the politicians say it's a right, it's okay. No, it's not okay. It's a dirty, filthy sin. And whether you like it or not, AIDS got moved and propagated across America because of that filthy lifestyle. Anyway, today, killing the babies. You know what we're in trouble with in America? We're in trouble also with the population bomb. I didn't say the nuclear bomb, that's bad enough, but the population bomb is coming. You see, we're killing off our offspring. It is an amazing thing what's going on. Now, thank God we're winning some. I saw where an abortion clinic was closed in Knoxville, Tennessee, I believe it was, this week, because they couldn't find a doctor that would go in and kill the babies. Now, thank God for that. Thank God for those that have got some convictions, and no matter what the bill or the price or how much money I can make, I'm going to do right before God. And so I'm thankful for that. But you know, there's nations in trouble now with a population bomb. Muslims say they'll take over America. If no other way, they'll do it with the population thing. And there's a lot of truth to that. Give them a little time. It wouldn't take as long as you think. In Russia, abortion got to be just so common. And now Russia is having major problems because they killed off their best. They're educated. They're high IQ people there. And now they don't have them for doctors. And they don't have them for lawyers. Now that might not be a bad thing. But anyway, all of a sudden their society is hurting. So Russia now is subsidizing a family that will have more than one child, because they're in trouble with the population problem there. Understand? In America, we're right on the road, right on the trail. Now, while China is not letting their folks have more and penalizing them for having a second or third child, whichever it is, the truth of the matter is God's plan, when he spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden, was to replenish the earth. God's plan, he says over there in the Psalms, that children are a heritage of the Lord. And that's God's plan. And the thing to do today, what we're doing today, and when we murder the babies, we're going against what God said that was right. And there's a reaping for that. There's a reaping coming down the road for that. Now, Satan's lie started in Eden. I don't know what the serpent looked at like before God cursed him, but apparently he had a mouth, because he spoke with Eve. And he deceived Eve through what he said. He was able to use words. God has set the human race up to be unique over other animals, and I don't care what your evolutionist says, it makes us unique because we can speak to each other, because we do have a language. You raise all the chimpanzees you want, and they'll never be able to talk English to you. But you raise a kid in time he's 3 years old, you can't shut him up. There's a big difference. There's a big difference, my friend. God put something in human beings he didn't put in the animal kingdom, and we ought to have common sense enough to recognize that. But Satan's lies started in the garden, and they're still going on today. Let me show you in the Bible how he lies to the nations. That includes America. Go with me if you got time to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, you want to see the beginning and end of the devil? You'll see it here in chapter of Isaiah 14. I want you to see what he does, though. In Isaiah 14, it says, and God is speaking to the devil here, in speaking to Lucifer. Isaiah 14, verse 9, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Who's going to hell? Well, the devil is. Bible says it was made for him and his angels. It stirreth up the dead. There's going to be others there. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. Watch it. And they shall speak and say unto thee, unto who? Satan? Yes. Art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vows, the worm is spread unto thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst what? Weaken the nations. I could go on there, but go to the last book of the Bible with me. Go to Revelation chapter 20. And Revelation chapter 20, if you want to see the devil's lies to the nations, here it is. Revelation chapter 20, first three verses. Now, I know you're going to find that book quick. It's the last one, right? If you go to another one, you're in the concordance. Leave it alone. Let's go here to Revelation chapter 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him. Now watch the next line. That he should deceive the nations no more. He's deceiving them right now. But the day is coming. He'll be in the pit. He'll be chained. And he cannot deceive them anymore. But right now he's deceiving them. No more till the 1,000 years shall be fulfilled. That's the kingdom of Christ. So right now what is Satan doing? He's lying to the nations. He's telling them now you don't need God. You don't need anything about God. His lies, what we call today humanism. You know, even in our state schools, Jesus' name now is forbidden. You can't hardly pick up a newspaper without the ACLU or some liberal atheistic crowd suing some school district to keep them from praying. Even a coach on the ball field. You know the story. You see it all the time. That's called humanism. The name of Jesus forbidden, and yet false names of false cults and false isms being taught in the schoolroom. Right here within a few miles of this church building, at least one school teacher made a big report in the paper because she taught her class the Native Indian religion, so that they made little fetuses, they made little charms, and placed them in the windows to keep the hurricanes away. Hey, I'm not making that up. It was in the newspaper. Could give you the name of the school, and if you want to look up the newspaper, the name of the teacher. Was that wrong? No, but if she'd have went in the classroom and said, "Let's pray in Jesus' name." She went in the classroom with the Bible. She went in there with the truth like that. Oh, that'd have been bad. I had a public school teacher come here one, and there's a lot of good born-again saved public school teachers, but my friend, they're tied when it comes to getting the truth out about the Lord Jesus Christ. I had one come ask me for a job here in our Christian school. In fact, I wound up hiring her, I think, the next year or the next semester, because she was in trouble because at Easter time, on the bulletin board in her room, instead of the bunny rabbits and eggs, she put up a picture of the open tomb because Jesus had risen from the dead. And she got called on the carpet. She was in trouble. She was a Christian, and she said, "Don't care. Easter's not about rabbits and eggs. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and him rising from the dead." Oh, yeah. Listen, I'm talking to you about the lies the devil's telling to the nations. How they're buying this thing. Well, Mother Earth, population's too great. I already got on that. We're overpopulating the earth. You can go up to Georgia and see the guide stones the liberals put up there on the hill, sort of like Stonehenge in England. And they got carved on those guide stones. Now, what do you say, guide stone? You had to tell us humans how we got to live. They tell us the population is too big, that their Mother Earth, Gaia Earth, Goddess Earth, can only handle 500,000 of us. The rest got to go. All right, let them go first. Let them go first. But see, here's the whole thing. The lie We overpopulate. Do you understand? If you take the land mass on the globe, of all the land that's not under ice, not the Arctic, we're only populating 3% of it. That won't add up with your TV news, will it? That won't fit, but check out the stat. Do you know we're only planting and growing crops on 1/9 of it? Hey, Mother Earth can handle quite a few more. Amen. If it was done, if we could get the lies of Satan off of it. You'll see in the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Hey, you say, but we're using up our water and we're using up our air. Who told you that? Did you get that out of the Bible? Where'd that come from? I'm blowing some of your mind right now. You say, where'd I get? You got in a place where we believe in truth and not in a big mouth spouting off a Satan's propaganda. That's where you're at. Satan's plan, one world government. I mean, he's getting all the crowd together to resist the Lord's return. That's what he's doing. The one world government, the UN, United Nuts, I'm going to enjoy it. Stephen's gone. You got nobody else today but me. Just live with it. But you got the United Nuts up there. By the way, you're going to find out who they are when they put a global tax on you here pretty soon. They're planning that. And when they find an excuse for to get around the Second Amendment of the Constitution and take up your guns, you're going to get to register your guns with the United Nations. I just trust them so much. Amen. He's lying to the nations. He's lying to and about the church. You know, he is saying we'd be better off without the church in this world, so he attacks it. It's amazing. Be better free of it, he says. And some of you would agree with him. Say, how you know? Because you don't come enough. And you don't give to it. So you must be listening to somebody else besides the Bible. Amen? Amen. Like I said, help yourself. Come on, you know, the church is under attack by the devil. It's attack from without. It's attack from within. It's attack with the lies and the propaganda and the deception of the humanism, anti-Bible. All you watch on TV trying to attack the Bible. Go to some of these liberal colleges, and most of them are, and go in there and they're attacking the Bible. That's what it amounts to. That's Satan's attack. That's Satan's lies concerning the church. You know, do you ever consider where we'd be if the Lord hadn't given us the church? Hey, we need it. It's the only thing he started. He left it here for you and I. You know what we're doing this morning? You that are believing what I'm saying, you that believe the book, we draw a little strength from gathering together, from assembling together. You say, well, you're telling them stuff they already know, but they want to hear it again. Amen. Because we feed off of that. I eat bread almost every day. Amen. And you need to eat some bread, spiritual bread. You understand we need the spiritual food? God left us an organization called the church. We assemble ourselves together to admonish and exhort each other, to encourage each other. We assemble ourselves together to preach the gospel and try to get the lost world to come and hear it and get saved. But the church is nowhere in the world. In the Bible, it does not tell the lost man to go to church. It tells the saved man to go get him. That's Bible, like it or not. I know in the old days before the TV and before all the junk they got on now, I know a lot of lost men came to church, but we're told to go out to the lost world. That's God's plan. That's God's plan. And while the devil says you'd be better off without it, that's not true. Do you know nationally that would be America? Do you know internationally that'd be the rest of the world, worldwide? Do you understand if there was no church, most likely you'd have very few hospitals? Compassion comes. Christianity is still the biggest religion in the world. And the truth is the matter, the world has been influenced by it. Do you know that law and order, compassion, hospitals, you ever hear of an organization called the Red Cross? Now, I wouldn't probably agree with them on much anymore, but you know what? They took a symbol, the red cross, the red for the blood and the cross for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm saying this world's been marked by the compassion of the Lord and what he has done through his church, not only hospitals, but universities and all. You back it up a while, and this world without the church would be exactly what it's going to be when the church is called out. It's going to be a bad place to live. Bad place to live. Locally, you personally ought to be involved in a good Bible-believing church, first because you ought to get saved. Join the church don't save you. But you ought to get saved and join a church. You listen, the church will benefit you in training up your kids if you'll give it a chance. In getting them married in a good marriage. I mean, there's trouble in this world everywhere you look, but the church is a safe haven. It's a place, ought to be a place of truth that believes the word of God. And you'll get all kind of benefits from being part of that. Even financially. You say, I thought you'd get to that. Well, let me say this about it. If a fella is spending half his paycheck on the lottery and on booze, and he comes to church and gets saved, and he starts giving to the cause of the Lord, but he's living clean now, he's going to have more money in his pockets than before. And his family is going to benefit from it. And in the long run, he'll definitely benefit even financially as well as spiritually and every other way. Even health-wise. Do you know peace of mind has a lot to do with peace of the body? The wellness of the body? Sure it does. Peace of mind. I read a stat that you're better off to go to church anyway, that less people die in church than they do in the hospital. Now I'm being facetious with you a little bit, but that's true. It's true. But there's benefits you don't even think about sometimes. Don't even think about hardly at all. But you know, Satan's lies to the young people are amazing to me. Biggest lie he tells them, and some of them are here, and a lot of them over in the other building. But the lies to youth tells them, don't wait. You got a right to everything right now. Biggest challenge you'll have as a mom and dad is keeping your kids doing things right on time and not jumping the gun on you. And that's what they'll do. Marriage is good, but if it's premature, it's really bad. It's really wrong. And a lot of young folks believe the devil's lie. Grab for it now. Get the money now. Get the sex now. Use the credit card now. Charge it. Dad and mom worked 50 years for it, but you charge it in the first year you get married. Little girl went to the store with her mom, and the manager knew the mom, and he was talking to her and talking to the little girl, and he reached over and got a little gadget, and he gave it to the little girl, said, let me give you a gift. And she took it, and the mother said, now what do you say to the good man? She said, charge it. She learned the lesson well. I'm telling you what, if the devil can get you to jump ahead, do those kind of things wrong, get your covetous nature working against you. No, sir, church is a good place to have that thing put in balance, amen? Yes. He lies even to good preachers. Say, does he lie to you? Sure does. You know, sometimes he's telling about a half-truth. In fact, sometimes it may be the whole truth. But he tells me, nobody wants to hear that. You old-fashioned dinosaur, you're not up with it. You're not in the modern times. Nobody wants to hear that. Read about a good church. Man, I almost tempted to give the name. A church that's been an anchor for years. A great place of many souls, say, and at one time, thousands attending. They got a new preacher now. From thousands, they're down to about 300. They're taking Baptists out of the name. And I saw an interview that a reporter gave with a new preacher. And he's all excited. He said, we're going to make this the coolest church in town. The church is supposed to be cool. I mean cool in the way young people use the word cool. Cool. Well, I'll tell you something. Hell's still hot.
Yeah, that's right.
Hell's still hot.
Yeah.
We still got a job to do, keeping men out of hell.
That's right.
And I'll go to that church down there. Boy, they had the coolest music. And the ladies dressed in the coolest way. When you get to hell, you're going to say, I wish I'd have went somewhere that told me the truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody told me what the Bible had to say about
yeah.
it. You see, the devil will lie to pastors. He'll lie to a church. But you know what? He'll tell the church you're a loser, but the Bible says we're winners.
Yeah.
Bible says in Ephesians 3:21, unto him be glory in the church throughout all ages. Oh yeah, 2012 too. Throughout all ages, glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end, amen. That's what it says. Don't let the devil lie to you. The church belongs to Jesus. He left it here. He started it. It has a purpose. It would be real good if you got saved and got in his church and got the benefits from that. You see, a lot of benefits before we get to heaven. Benefits now. Benefits that we could stand here all day and name. The truth of the matter is, the devil will lie to you about that. Biggest lie, though, is to lie to the lost man to keep him lost. To pervert the truth, to hide it. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You want to get free of that drink? You want to get free of that bondage you're in? You want to get free of that sin that you just continue to commit? You want to get free of all that trouble that you've built up and piled up on you? Hey, you need the truth. And the truth is, Jesus can make you free. Yes. He's the only one. There's some good organizations out there that may can help you. But until you get the peace in your heart that you are right with your Creator, till you get born again and know that the blood of Jesus Christ has paid for your sins, until you get the peace that comes from that truth, nothing else will be any more than just a Band-Aid. It'll be temporary. Enduring peace, peace that passes understanding, comes from a peace in your heart that you're right with God. That if you die today, heaven's your home. That's the kind of peace you get from receiving Christ. You know, the devil says, well, you'd be ashamed to step out and confess Christ. Did you ever think about the mouth, what it has to do? I understand there's some folks that have the handicap and can't speak and all, but they have other ways they can confess Christ. But if you can speak, God wants you to confess his Son as your Savior. Amen. Oh, yeah. I could turn to it here, I guess. Turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 12. I want to quickly use this because I'm on the subject here a little bit. Matthew chapter 12. I'm going to pick it up in verse 37 and read it to you. It says, for by thy words thou shalt be justified. By thy words thou shalt be condemned. See both sides of the road? Justified, condemned. Justified as though I never sinned before God. Have them all rubbed out. Put on the blood, justified, or condemned. Say, what do you mean? You mean if I say I'm saved, I'm saved? No, you can lie. But God says, you confess my Son as Savior. By your words, you'll be justified openly. That's what Jesus said, Matthew chapter 10. Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father in heaven. You see, when a man leaves that seat and comes down the aisle to receive Christ, he walks down the aisle here and I say, you want to accept Christ? He says, yes. He don't hand me a note unless he can't speak. If he speaks, he uses his mouth. He said, well, I'd be ashamed to do that. Then it's your mouth that condemns you. It can justify you. It can condemn you. You know, it amazes me today. A man will confess anything in the world except when it comes to saving his soul, refusing to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin entered the garden over when Satan spoke out of his mouth. He used the serpent's mouth, but it was Satan speaking. You know, he spoke in a dialogue to Eve. He deceived her. He spoke words. Sin entered to the human race and all the troubles we have from it because of Satan's word in the garden. Now, isn't it interesting that sin entered by the mouth, but God also gives victory over sin involving the mouth? Romans chapter 10. Listen to the mouth. It's in these verses. Romans chapter 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the
mouth confession is made unto salvation. Oh, listen, folks. If you love your wife, confessing it with your mouth. If you love your kids, confessing it with your mouth. If you love the Lord, why not confess it with your mouth? You stand before the preacher for the marriage vows. And he says, do you take so-and-so? And you say, what? Let me give you a note. No, you say, I do, with your mouth. I do. Do you take this one? I do. How about it this morning? Do you take Jesus? Willing to confess him with your mouth? The verse says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that Jesus is Lord, that God hath raised him from the dead. Well, if he's raised from the dead, he had to be God. Thou shalt be saved. That's what the verse says. Now, the devil's got a lying mouth. Jesus is telling you the truth, and he's wanting you to confess him with your mouth because you believe it in your heart. Why do people make it so hard? When Jesus returns, it's interesting, Revelation chapter 19, when he comes back and fights the armies of the world, he comes back with a sharp sword that goes out of his mouth. You see, Satan has a lying, deceiving mouth. Jesus has a true mouth, speaking the word of God. And the difference is, what are you going to do with your mouth? What are you going to do with your mouth? It's interesting nowadays that all religions have something to do with the mouth. You know, if you join a satanic cult, you'll have to confess Satan with the mouth. Yeah, you will. Do you know false religion like Islam, convert or die? You can get converted and save your head from being chopped off if you'll say, God is great, three times. Now, we know better than that, don't we? Did you see in the news recently where the man stayed 1,000 days in jail, brought before the court several times, even had his death put in the news, but it was false, but come so close to having his head chopped off over there by Islam. They finally released him, but you know what they kept bringing him before the court to do? To confess with his mouth, Allah, Islam, and he wouldn't do it because he was a Christian. And it's reported several times they'd already killed him. They were going to kill him. But there was enough outcry from the world that I understand he's been released. It don't mean he's out of danger, but he's been released. But he would not deny with his mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, who's listening to me today that will deny the Lord Jesus Christ with your mouth? Because the boys on the job might joke about you. This man, 1,000 days in jail, separated from his wife and kids, would not deny the Lord Jesus. As sermons are preached this morning about the love and the mercy of Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, how many folks are denying him, though they're under no threat, though it will not cost them their head to confess him? But how many are denying him? You see where I'm going this morning? I'm talking about an age of the lying mouth, the propaganda of the devil, the falseness that's going on. I ask you this morning, have you ever confessed Christ? Have you ever? The Bible says in Romans 10:11, whosoever believeth shall not be ashamed. Where do you stand on that? Which side are you on? I challenge you this morning, if you've never confessed Christ as your Savior, leave that seat, come forward as we sing an invitation song, and say, preacher, I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'll accept him as my Savior. Will you do it? I pray you will. Let's stand, please.